Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And I have to admit, I truly believe, folks, that you were born for these days. If I was born for these days, then you were born for these days. And what I mean by that is, in my Easter post, because I usually don't make a post on Mobius Strip Press, and that's only there, and I need to start actually doing it. I need to get out there and start talking about Monix, start talking about, what the heck's going on. But my first post back in social media and first post for the year on Facebook for the Mobius Strip Press page, it was all about Easter, and it was just a little quick blurb because bottom line, I've got a lot of friends and a lot of associates who are, it's not making the assertion. They're acknowledging he has risen. And so I have added to that, because to all of those who acknowledge he has risen, I am only stating the obvious. And I guess that's, that's sometimes what we all have to do. We all have to state the obvious that, there's an elephant in the room. And we have to identify, because there's lots of elephants in the room. And as a matter of fact, most people don't even realize that, one, there's an elephant in the room. But those people that do, they don't even realize that it's actually more than one elephant. There are a lot of elephants in the room. But regarding the social media post, I was trying to be as brief as I possibly can. You know me. I tend to be a little bit too verbose for most people, but the fact of the matter is, not only has he risen, but the fact of the matter is this, that all prophecies will be fulfilled. Even the dreadful day of the Lord will come forth. And bottom line, folks, when those things happen, the world will know his fullness and his glory. And so anyway, or the fullness of his glory. Anyway, we've got a lot of things to cover because this is really the special Game Changer episode. And we're trying to keep things in sync. And I know that, adding things about the times like Easter and so forth kind of makes people think, this isn't relevant. These shows that we do, every single one of these shows that we do, because we cover content, is relevant. Now, there may be some shows like Feedback Friday that may have a long-term relevance, may, have some what we call, really temporary, ephemeral type of data that, is just basically only, of relevance for a very short period of time. And so what we want to do is connect the dots for you. That's what this special Game Changer episode. See, there's a lot of hosts out there that are telling you. As a matter of fact, I'm hearing, a lot of side chatter about the divorce and, what's her name, Majorium or whatever her name is, Green. I think Georgia, Florida, somewhere over on the southeast side. In Congress, talking about, we need a divorce. The red states need to divorce the blue states. Anybody that says that is completely ignorant and illiterate regarding the Constitution. Because if they understood the Constitution, what they would be doing was they would be advocating this whole concept of demanding full compliance to the Constitution and using First Amendment petitions. Because bottom line, when somebody says we need a divorce, that means that they are accepting unconstitutional actions by politicians and government. you know, we have a responsibility to hold government accountable. And so we had a lot of calls last week. When I say calls, I don't mean for the radio show. We had a lot of leadership planning calls and so forth. There are strategies that are moving forth and plans, and we're actually getting organized. And I'm really happy to say that Wyoming is getting more and more organized. And it's nice to see that we've got South Dakota doing the same thing and so forth. And I know that Montana, we're working there. I know, you know, here's what's pathetic. In the 2016, 2017, I made a real concerted effort to actually reach out and work with the people in Idaho, the conservative movers and so forth. And I, you know, the reason that they are still in the Stone Ages, they're still flat earth and what to do. Oh, it's about conservative values, man. And all they're doing, because they're voting Republican and they're voting, you know, supposedly the moderates instead of the constitutionalist. Well, now they've got, you know, Governor Little actually reigning tyranny upon them. And this has all more to do with the conservative organizations that are controlling what that state is doing. And when I say controlling, I really mean controlling, because one of the largest, most influential groups in the state of Idaho with conservatives, which you want to call the ultra conservatives, not the ultra MAGA, but the ultra conservatives, this is John Birch Society. And so, you know, folks, those who take you to bed, they, you know, they've made their bed, now you go lie in it. And if you want to start changing, you have to change your paradigm. I mean, you have to get out of that bedroom, get out of that mansion, which is actually some tool shed that you've been locked into. Anyway, we will be covering the Pennsylvania debates, and I'm doing everything I can to try to make sure that Paul Venable will be with us tomorrow and doing the final parts, because right now we're going through the Pennsylvania debates. And interestingly enough, within the Pennsylvania debate amendment process, we're starting to see some of the ideas that actually started gaining traction for the Bill of Rights. So anyway, and by the way, we did have our first national call. Now, to be clear, this national call isn't just a boondoggle for people to just get on the phone so they can hear, you know, and meet people. This is not the intent of this. And as a matter of fact, moving forward, and we're going to talk about this in the national call this week, moving forward, the real drivers behind this is what's going on in the states, how they're doing it, and what they're doing. And so if I can't get the states to come in to talk, then I will be the, you know, I will be the relayer. I will help, you know, translate what they're doing into, you know, what you have to do and how you have to get organized. And so, you know, it's nice when we're working with a couple of states that really have their stuff together. And what I mean by that is that they recognize that there's something wrong and they are doing things outside the status quo. In other words, they're recognizing that you just can't get Republicans elected. You have to prepare these Republicans. You have to train them. They have to understand the oath, and they have to understand why it is so important to actually be held accountable to that oath and be willing to do that and campaign on that. Because bottom line, anybody that gets up and can honestly say, you know, as much as I know that this right here, you know, I may not have been perceived as fully supporting the Constitution, this is why I did this. You know, and I am a champion of the Constitution. And because bottom line, I don't think that there's really cases where that will come up hardly at all. It is such a stark difference between the bills that are coming up that are contrary, that are unconstitutional, and the bills that are coming up that are. In other words, it's really a night and day. Everybody votes for those that actually support the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, in Wyoming, it was 100% of the constitutionalists that voted for the federal review bill. Now, we got, and you got to understand that there were Republicans out of those who voted against it. And those Republicans made the reasons they're telling their constituents. And by the way, folks, we're going to use this against them. They're telling their constituents, oh, well, the bill had some problems. They, you know, procedurally, it was going to create this, and what we needed to do was this. And so they just basically said, well, we just shot it down. In other words, they didn't care about the importance. As a matter of fact, this federal review bill was the Wyoming GOP's one of their priority bills that they wanted passed. And so the legislature thumbed their nose at the Republican Party by not passing that. And as a matter of fact, they were getting lauded. And as a matter of fact, the progressive media has done everything they can to give them cover, pointing to that one bill as the silliest bill of the season. The one bill that would demand full compliance of the Constitution as a silly bill. I want you to start getting your heads around this, because this is the blatant denial of the enemy. And they're coming right out and they're saying, we know what you're doing and we're not going to do it. And so, folks, what do? You have to actually hit them prior to the election so that they cannot recover. You know, when you watch election courses, you can kind of see when all of a sudden somebody stumbles and something happens, and then all of a sudden, you know, the person who was, you know, gaining momentum actually falls. They don't get across the finish line. The challenger does, or, you know, this bad rep, you know, or I should say this bad reputation incumbent actually regains the lead and takes over again. And folks, we can't allow them to actually wiggle out. What we want to do, and what we're going to do, is we're going to provide an empirical pile of evidence regarding the bills that they voted for and regarding the bills that they voted against. I mean, that's really what it comes. The one thing we send them to do is to actually make our lives better, to protect our property, to protect our lives, and to protect our rights, which in supporting the Constitution, that's what should be happening. Anyway, so we're going to get into this warfare, because this special Game Changer episode is really about that. And so I was going through the tactics of warfare last Monday, and we want to get back into that. But the one thing I wanted to actually say, one more thing regarding the Monix, because the very first Game Changer episode, I talked all about Monix, getting yourself into gold, that the government, the portal has been opened, and the way has been set to move us to a cashless society. You know, government, you know, the black market that exists, and what defines a black market is a market that government has no control over. And the fact is that black markets were rampant in the days of the framers, because people were making deals left and right, and government didn't care. They didn't even care, and they had no plans in trying to control those things. What they cared about was making sure that the trades that were coming in, the commerce that was coming in, was, you know, coming in from friendly nations, that we weren't necessarily dealing with hostile nations, giving them, you know, trade and so forth. But more importantly, that we were making the necessary revenue off of our imports. You know, we're not to be taxing our exports. We're not to actually place a burden on your production. And so we actually thrived. If you don't think we thrived, go read, because when we get into this, and last year I did this, and I don't know when I did it, but it's in my podcast, when I read James Monroe's inaugural address for his reelection, when he actually basically did his his statement to Congress, his, what do you want to call that, the State of the Union. When he provided the State of the Union after his reelection, he came right out and said, we were all, as a nation, we were all on, you know, course of paying off our debt within the next 10 years. In other words, he forecasted that the policies and plans that they put into place were actually going to pay us, pay off our debt. And in addition to what he was doing, he was actually spending money in repatriating blacks to Africa. That was a part of, you know, the budget. That was a part of the plan that he was doing. And when we look at how Jackson, the first Democratic president, got all the credit for getting us out of debt, like he did that. Folks, I just want you to know that the way people present history always has a spin to basically support their narrative. And so, anyway, let me get back to this Monix thing. I realize I want to do this. So there are two things, that, full disclosure, two things you need to know. You know, you can actually just tell people to use GR as the referral. You can do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to go create your own referral account. The other thing you can do is you don't even have to mention GR. You can actually just call, get an agent. Doesn't matter. You don't have to use mine. They have many agents there, and they'll just actually put you in a queue, and it'll go to an agent, and you can create your own rewards account so that everybody that comes in, will you'll get those rewards. And that's okay. I don't care either way. That is what Monix does. That's how they function. They believe in a word of mouth in, you know, getting their business to grow. They don't spend, I mean, you don't hear them like Goldline and all of these others that are spending big bucks paying for the salaries of your favorite conservative entertainers. And or conservative, supposedly conservative. I forget this one guy. He was, I think, Falcon Crest, or he was a night soap opera TV actor who, when it was going around promoting, you know, precious metals and so forth. I forget the guy's name. And I'm sure I'm going to get some texts that, oh, yeah, it was that guy. Fact of the matter is, you know, that guy did that because not that he was just doing this as a service to you. He was being paid. Those are paid endorsements. This is not a paid endorsement. You know, I used to tell people to go to Monix, and it's not like this is something I'm getting reimbursed for at all. I want you to clearly understand that, you know, you don't have to mention GR. But if you buy gold and silver, somebody could have gotten that reward. And so, because that's how they operate on every transaction, they build into it a reward for that purchase. For whoever buys the 100 silver coins, whoever referred them. If you don't have a referral, then I guess the sales agent is the one that does it. But it, you know, and gets to pocket that money. But the fact of the matter is, it's built into it. It's built into their pricing. And still doing it that way, they are still the cheapest. Nobody has yet to call me. No one has yet to call me to say, GR, here's a better plan. Here's a better way to go. So if you're concerned about your finances moving forward, you really need to call Monix and set up your referral account so that you can move forward. Now, getting back into what we call the warfare tactics. Now, I want to refer you to our webpage. Now, if you go to Reclaiming the Republic, you're going to find the article, or actually this is a constitutional minute, a communication from me to the state legislators, and it's the week of 23 January 2023. So where do you find it? You go to Reclaiming the Republic, Constitutional Articles page. It is the first button underneath the home button. It's the first one down. And so you go down one third of the page, one third if that, and you'll find the 2023 Constitutional Minutes banner. The first article underneath that is the week of 23 January 2023. That is the Constitutional Minutes article where I laid out and scratched at the surface the different warfare tactics that our government is actually exercising against us. You know what? We don't deserve this, folks. We've been a good people. The problem is that corruption has basically usurped and basically co-opted our government to actually go after our liberties and to go after us. They've been stealing from us. They co-opted us. They became, the corruption came in, and we've been subsidized. And I've been saying this for years. This is in my very first book. America has been subsidizing communism throughout the world for decades. Long before the John Birch Society started saying we're going to stop the growth of communism in America. The fact of the matter is, we were the ones that were supporting it. Not we, the people. It was the deep, dark state that was doing this, creating decisions and policies that helped it grow. And eventually, by the 50s, actually, from the 40s, from the, you know, the Treaty of Versailles and all of these other things, we actually helped by pouring our resources and money into Russia and into China. With Nixon's most favored nation status, we began the spigot of gold going into China. Folks, our government has actually been supporting an ideology and subsidizing it that is, the ideology is actually intolerant towards governments of liberty, and is their foremost goal is to destroy us. Now, it's kind of hard to say all of these things and actually get people to, you know, is this hyperbole? This isn't hyperbole. This is why we're covering these warfare tactics. Now, when we talk about rebellions, we're talking about not just, you know, when you see Antifa in the street. We see a cycle of indoctrinations in the education system and actually training methods, getting kids to go out and protest against gun rights. Folks, you may have a right of conscience. You may have a right to speak up, but when you're a child and you're being programmed to actually speak out against liberty and speak out against the system that we are all obligated to support, you can't tell me that the education system isn't a part and an integral part in preparing the next wave of rebellion against our Constitution. It's not about, you know, what we would call government. They are the government that is actually, because this is our government training them to do their bidding. So who in the heck is controlling this? This can't be, you know, based on the principles of liberty and based on what our government should be doing. This is not in sync. The one thing that should be taught in the schools is preparing children to be a part of the militia to actually make sure that they know their duties and can actually, you know, when called into service at age 17 or older, they know what to do. And they don't. And as a matter of fact, what they're being taught what to do is to actually fight against, and they're being weaponized to directly target anything that is patriotic and anything that is constitutional. As a matter of fact, that's why we hear the hyperbole. Oh, these constitutionalists, they're radicals. We've got to go after them. They're our greatest threat. That started in the Obama era. And it actually started in the education system even before then, because they started going after militias and everything else. We'll be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what I'm doing here is I'm just rehashing, or I'm just going over again precisely what the what I covered last week a little bit into a little bit more detail, just so everybody understands that when it comes down to our government and what it's doing in our education system, that is the training program for the rebellions and the anarchal protests to occur in the future. In other words, they have a wave and a wave. And here's something amazing, folks. I want you to fathom this. As much as they have had this control, and when I say control, this unabashed control, right? I mean, we actually see today that the education system has gone out of, you know, unchecked for years and years and years. And they are so enabled that they are actually going so far overboard in creating sexual dystopia. The crap that they're getting away with is an indictment of how enabled they are. So when we look at, you know, how they've been doing this unconstrained for decades, it's a testament of how strong our Constitution really is, that all it takes is a little flashlight to prove that the power does not exist, and then instantly people can start thinking, oh my gosh, this is why they never banned these articles. But when they do, when they make their move, your access, I can't emphasize this enough, your access to these founding documents will be taken away. You better start making copies. These websites will be shut down. Big tech and their AI will know where to go and who to shut down. And they will send agents to the doors of these businesses if necessary. The information will go away. So when you look at, you know, this plan I had, or this layout of how to get organized, when I tell you you need to have a librarian for your county, you really do. And as a matter of fact, I believe you need to have repositories that are duplicative. In other words, you have to have a resilience to somebody being able to come in, because if the agents come in and they take the data from one person, then it's gone. If they take the message and the narrative of what needs to be done, it's gone. Unless everybody has it, unless everybody's duplicating it. And I believe the beauty of all of this is Moore's Law. So everybody that understands Moore's Law, well, that's technology, right? Well, technology doubles, you know, the speed, storage, and all of these things, what, every 18 months, something like that. I mean, as technology continues to move forward, our need for data and storage goes down. But the need for creating more, and the reason why we have the need for more data is because they're creating more and more crap. And when I say crap, I literally mean crap. So what we want to do is we want to actually make sure that you are going to have not just the gold and silver, you're going to have these documents because they themselves are gold. As people read the truth, it can come forth. Now, so I was just doing a review, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to spend a little bit more time on this rebellion warfare, that there is a strategy and a plan to maintain this until they seize full control. But the indoctrination will continue to go. It will continue to move forward. And this is why they want to control your children. You know what? Hillary, in her book, I point this out. In her book, It Takes a Village, she's basically justifying the need of indoctrinating children away from their parents. She actually says, in her book, they do not want children to be exposed to their parents' religious dogma. They want the children to receive their dogma, which is in contradiction to the truth. Well, of course you don't want the truth, because as soon as somebody actually analyzes the lies and deceit from the truth, they can quickly recognize this is a bunch of lies and deceit. So folks, they've had this plan, they've been executing this, and they know what they're doing. And this goes down to the architect behind this plan. It wasn't Adam Weishaupt. Adam Weishaupt was the shill. All of these people, Soros, he is the shill for Satan, because it has to come back to that one person, because if not, it would die with Soros. It would have died with Adam Weishaupt. You know, it may have taken a new form, gone down a different path, but things would not have been on course. This only proves that there is a master design to try to destroy us. And he is going to continue to get worse and worse, and we're going to allow this. As people embrace this perversion of our society, the debauchery, you know, and this enabling. I mean, folks, I live in the state of Washington, and the state of Washington's minimum wage is basically $16 right now, $15.74, something like that. And so what is that in contrast to the national, you know, minimum wage? The national minimum wage is still seven something. So how is it that Washington State, I mean, kids are going to come here. This becomes the land of where no jobs will exist as kids think that they can come here. What this is going to do is this is going to create blight. Because when people can't afford to pay for the fundamental, I mean, how can you have a restaurant and operate? How can you have, you know, a business that requires, you know, a low income type of employee, you know, somebody that doesn't know anything, you don't have to have anything. And eventually the big corporations will be able to set up shop by using robotics and everything else, and you'll have your fast food, you'll have other restaurants, because they're actually proving with robotics, artificial technology, and so forth, that they can provide everything. So these places that are becoming uninhabitable for an average person that is making a decent wage, because they're destroying it by inflating wages and enabling people, kids really believe they deserve that wage. This is poison to a society. And when we're seeing it actually being implemented, communism, socialism directly being implemented, then folks, you got to have a bug out plan. You got to have a strategy. That's what we're talking about. And so we're actually going through all of these different things. We've talked about biological warfare. The last thing I talked about was biological warfare. And to be honest with you, I only talked about the virus and the leaking of the virus and how the virus had been deployed. technically, look at the biological warfare they've been playing with the vaccinations. Why is it that they're putting heavy, why is this crap going into vaccinations other than the fact that it's to do you harm? It's not just been that, though. I mean, we can talk about diet. The biological warfare in changing our diet to create a new outcome or to create a new problem, such as diabetes by high fructose corn syrup, or by changing the mentality, and I should say literally changing and shifting the direction of society by changing its hormonal balance. How did they do that? They started injecting soy milk into, you know, all children as the supplement, as the house was being abandoned by mothers because they had to go to work if they were going to give their kids a shot. All of the kids of the late 70s and 80s that were infants at that point in time were being fed this soy crap. And that was starting to change because the hormones of the people were changing. Do you think the metrosexual age of the 90s was by happen chance? Or do you, if you really look at the data, why is it that all of a sudden the lack of, you know, the hairy, burly testosterone male had started to fade in our society? Because of the hormonal manipulation. They knew what they were doing, and they know that by inducing these small little things into our society, they know that what they're doing is changing how we actually take in data, how we react, our behavior, period. And so you can't tell me that, you know, somebody didn't understand all of this stuff to make sure that we were heading on, you know, we were well on this highway to debauchery, debasement, and so forth. We are being debased because that's a part of the plan. Now, chemical warfare comes in all sorts of ways. Chemical warfare comes, again, it can be the biological side by the hormones, or, but actually, it can be other things such as our diet, the sugars, and so forth. But more importantly, chemical warfare like drugs or things that make us addictive or just pharmaceutical. So when we look at how, and if you talk to any, I'll just say, a doctor that has seen the light, that has broken away from the big pharma control of the medical education, medical research, all of that. When you finally find a doctor that comes to their senses and realizes the big pharma has been actually pushing an agenda for their profits and for control. You know what? This is not coincidence. This is not coincidence. It is all a part of the meshing of gears that need to be moving so that we're going in the direction that the dark one wants us to go. I mean, this is not, you know, just happen chance. We are being played and manipulated. This stuff has been historic. From the little things that we consider even good have been manipulated. You know, when I look at myself and I look at the money involved in the religious holidays in America, I can't consider that good. Now, I am an advocate that everybody take the time and recognize the true spirit of the holiday itself. And you'll find that it has nothing to do, such as this past holiday of Easter, with Peeps. It has nothing to do with chocolate. But go look at the profits and go look at what people spend their money on to celebrate, to acknowledge the holiday of the time of year. And you can't tell me that you know that these companies are doing it because it's a righteous thing that they do. As a matter of fact, they take your money and then they spend it on things that further the debasing of our society. I mean, these woke companies are actually coming out. You know, it is an indictment when all of a sudden companies can come out because they truly feel Anheuser-Busch truly feels that they can get away with, you know, making these changes and embracing this gender dystopia, you know, this transgender movement. And folks, I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of other companies that are crossing over that line. And so here's the thing. You can get away with that if, you know, you're a company that sells maybe lingerie. But when you are a company that sells beer, the majority of the people that actually drink beer, the majority of your profits are actually people that have not necessarily bought into your plan. So why would Anheuser-Busch go down that path? Other than the fact that it is just a signal that they believe that they now have a level of control, and they have, you know, enough people on the other side that will actually, you know, support, and or they won't deal with negative consequences. They can get away with it. You know, it is not good business. It is not good business to make a decision that would be irreparable or damaging to your business. So why would a company make a decision that would actually insult, you know, what one would think would be a majority of their consumers? Well, okay, so let's look at it this way. How much money and how much profit has Anheuser-Busch lost? Because Anheuser-Busch has probably done the analysis and go, you know, these other beer markets that are starting to come up, you know, that's why they're buying. Go look at how many companies Anheuser-Busch owns when it comes to beer and beverages. The point is this, folks, that when they realize that they're, you know, they're so diverse and they're saturated at this point with those men, and most consumers are actually preferring to go to other beers that they're, you know, will they survive? I believe they made a calculated decision that they could survive. And so they wait and wait and wait, and they do the statistics and they look and they say, we can survive. So folks, when it comes down to this, is, you know, there's a lot of things that are in play here, the marketing, the analysis, and all of that type of stuff. But bottom line, I'm talking about chemical warfare. And when you look at what they're putting in your foods, when you look at what they're putting in your beverages, they are putting things in your food and beverages that are actually, I'll just say, detrimental to our society, detrimental to a society that has mores of values, of, I'll just, the best way to say it, folks, is a society that is enlightened and wants to do good things. They're putting these chemicals, they're putting preservatives, they're putting these types of things into their products so that, one, they don't even last long anymore. Has anybody noticed that, you know, a product doesn't last like a Coke? Shoot, I remember having old Cokes. And when I say old Cokes, Cokes that were bottled in the 60s and the 70s that were in my parents' basement. You know, they just had some that were just tucked away. And I remember drinking them, you know, because we pulled them out in the 90s, decades later. And these drinks tasted good. Why is it that they call these things preservatives, but I'm telling you, they're not. They're designed to expire the food. Why? Because they don't want you to be able to stockpile food anymore. That is chemical warfare. So when we start looking, I'm only scratching the surface when I'm identifying just the drugs crossing the border as chemical warfare and getting people, you know, making fentanyl easy, accessible, cheap, and what have you. If you have an abundance of supply, the price goes down. If you take away the supply, the price will shoot up. Most drug addicts cannot afford drugs if it is expensive. Or they have to do some really insane things like, you know, resort to armed robbery and that type of stuff just to pay for the drugs. So there's always these pressures in the basic economics of supply and demand. There's always these pressures that occur. And so they understand that by making sure that there is a good enough supply, they can keep it cheap so they can continue to kill us. This is why this has become big business, and this is why you'll see corporations getting involved in organized crime. Cultural warfare. This is the next one on the list. And, you know, so I could go for a long time regarding cultural warfare. When we look at the American culture was really based on, as because we cover this type of stuff, the laws of nature, nature's God, you know, and enlightenment and how these principles really made America great because America was destined. America was, you know, on a path of, you know, getting higher and higher and higher in becoming the greatest society ever. And look at where we are now. We're now being trodden. We're now basically, we are doing this to ourselves. That's the worst part about it. It's not like, you know, this has happened from external. This is happening from within because of corruption. And so cultural warfare is so rampant, and it's rampant in different ways. But the most obvious way that I point out points to the invasion on our southern border. How many illegal invaders are in America today? Go do the math. Go look at historically since Reagan, how many people have been crossing that border? When you really come down to it, we have probably more now than 40 million illegals. This cultural warfare alone has a very big impact on our housing market. Fathom this. Get rid of 40 million people. We pick them up, we repel them, we send them back to their states, their nations, where they came from. How much housing just became available? A lot. As a matter of fact, the reason why real estate agents and the reason why all of these corporations want to maintain this, you know, this surge of illegals, these invaders to come into our country, is because Home Depot and all of these other companies actually benefit from this stuff. Because you got to fix it up. We got to build more. And we're giving it away, folks, because the government will take the houses that you abandon. They will fix those things up and they'll give that to these people who come here that have no entitlements, but they entitle them anyway. This is how destructive our government has been functioning to actually work to destroy us. When you see the government, our government, actually providing pamphlets, printing pamphlets, using non-government organizations in Central and Latin America and so forth, and giving them, you know, these documents, hey, all you've got to do is come here and we will make your life better. Just get here. Doesn't matter. And this is why parents, folks, you know there's something wrong, especially when you look at the culture in these Latin American nations where, you know, the family still means something. What kind of culture would actually throw their children to another country? One that really loves their children and understands that this is probably the best thing that they can. And it's so bad down there, that's why they're doing it. But instead of actually fixing the problem and ending corruption in Latin America, Central America, should actually be a state in the union. And each of these, you know, Panama, not Guadalcanal, El Salvador, Honduras, all of these countries. And there's one that starts with a G, and it's just eluding me. Anyway, all of these countries would be actually counties in this state, because this state should not have, every country should not necessarily become a state in the union, because these really are a part of a single nation. It's just like Mexico. Mexico would probably be a part of Latin America, possibly, as they transition. And down the road, maybe in 100 years, 200 years or so forth, as they have fully embraced individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and the concepts that has made America what it is, this constitution, then eventually they can start dividing their state into smaller states. This is why, we do need to be guarded in what we bring in, and as a matter of fact, there's certain nations that for strategic purposes, we need to be targeting Taiwan. We need to be targeting Hong Kong. We need to be targeting Nepal. We need to be targeting every country where China is about ready to collapse. We need to be targeting countries that Russia is collapsing, but we have to change our paradigm. We have to stop actually exploiting these countries and actually, because what we're doing is we're selling out the world to communism. Instead, we should actually be promoting and growing liberty in the world. That is the way to do that, and using the Constitution is the only way to do it. So cultural warfare, we actually have an answer to this. There is a process, and it is actually fixing and getting rid of. But see, those people who have all of the money, I'm telling you, they all should be gathered up. Soros should be gathered up, and this man should be thrown in jail. Gates the same way. All of these men who are actually committing atrocities against humanity, they should not be protected because, they're paying for everything. We need to actually start holding them accountable. And there's no doubt in my mind, folks, these guys that are buying the loyalty of your state legislators, they're buying the loyalty of your county commissioners, all of these guys that are throwing this money down the throat of your government, they need to be arrested and they need to be held accountable. This is harsh. You don't hear this on any other show. And the fact of the matter is, you can't stop. When you start thinking this way, you can't stop. You can't put your finger in the dike and stop this flood. It's too late. The water is out. We have everything we need to fix this problem. And that backlog of water, the energy that is behind all of this, will come forth. This is why my Easter post is what it is. All who acknowledge that he has risen will someday soon recognize and see all prophecies come to pass, even the prophecy of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.